Good afternoon. I'm Tony Kindred for the Chalkboard Review. Joining us today in the Teacher's Lounge is Christina Ellis. She is a member of the Dave Ramsey team, a best-selling author and speaker. You might know her from her book, How to Graduate Debt-Free, and it is an excellent pickup for any high school economics classroom if you haven't grabbed it yet. Christina, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So there's a lot of conversation going on right now about not only what we need to be paying back for in college with reparations and forgiving student loans and that kind of stuff. But there's a renewed focus on what schools need to be teaching, not just in regard to personal finance, but whether students should or shouldn't go to college, whether they should take student loans, how much student loans they should take. You didn't take any student loans. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and kind of how you got into this financial education game?
Yeah. Well, the first day of my freshman year of high school, my mom, she sat me down and she said, Christina, I love you and I believe in you, but there's just no way that I could support you financially once you graduate from high school. You got to figure out your own way to pay for college. And when she first said that, I was kind of shocked. I thought, like, why are you telling me this? I'm a freshman in high school. What can I do about it? But at the same time, I knew that she was just trying to be real with me. My dad, he passed away when I was 7 years old. She was an immigrant from Venezuela doing her best to raise two kids, but realistically, she just couldn't afford a college education for us. So she really wanted to get us motivated and help us start thinking about college and how we could pay for it. And she told me about scholarships that day and started telling me, you know, if you work hard enough now, you can win scholarships and go to school debt free, which was super exciting to me. I loved that part. I was like, that sounds interesting. So I started reading every book, every article, you know, everything I could find about scholarships. I just wanted to find anything I could and learn how I could stand out in the process. I interviewed alumni from my high school, asked them, you know, how do they win scholarships? What did they do to stand out in the process? And I started putting together a strategy and ended up implementing it all throughout high school. I did a bunch of extracurricular activities. I took on leadership roles, did a lot of volunteer work. And then my senior year of high school, I treated the scholarship application process basically like a part-time job. I just applied. Thankfully, it all paid off. I was able to win over $500,000 in scholarships and go to school completely debt-free.
$500,000. That's wow. I mean, that's not something you really hear about these days for sure. Obviously, everyone left and right's taking student loans, and then it's getting through the entire time at university. And often it's for a major that they don't even like by the end of it. They just, you know, they get there and they change it two or three times. I changed my major twice when I was in my undergraduate studies. And I remember working just tooth and nail through college to make sure everything was paid for, sometimes two or three jobs, just kind of working on whatever ad hoc roofing teams over the summer. And kind of the common theme here I'm sensing is like a dedication to getting it done and climbing that mountain on your own. Did you feel once those scholarships were in your name and ready to be paid, you know, that account was there. What was it like cresting that mountain kind of on the other side of it? Because we focus on the work. Oftentimes we focus on, you know, buckling down and making the decision, but we often don't tell our students what it feels like once you crest that mountain. What was it like for you?
It felt so great. And, you know, honestly, in hindsight, it sounds like, oh man, I was trying to avoid student loans and this was this huge weight as I went into college. But something I often share now is that, like, when my mom told me freshman year, thank goodness, she had a conversation with me about money before I really even understood student loans. So I thought if I wanted to go to college, like, I had to pay cash for it. Like, I thought it was scholarships or nothing. So I'm thankful she had that money conversation so early that I didn't actually even know that there was any other option. I think it was even just like getting to the spot where I was like, wow, I can go to college and pay for it. That's amazing. Like, I was just so excited because I thought, like, if I didn't come up with the cash for it, that, like, there just was another way. And so I'm just thankful that student loans were kind of completely off the table until senior year when, you know, then and people started saying, you know, at admissions offices, hey, here are student loans. You want to take these? And at that point, I was like, I'm so committed to the scholarship process that it wasn't really a temptation. But then once I got to college, I was so thankful because I got to really explore, you know, what I wanted to do. I changed my major, like you said. It's like when I got there, I was so convinced I wanted to major in economics and got there and was like, oh, wow, this is not like my economics class in high school. I think I like the, like, personal finance aspect, but, like, global macroeconomics, like, not really my thing.
I remember hearing macroeconomic students, you know, groan about this Monopoly project. And I remember thinking, like, ah, that sounds kind of fun, like playing Monopoly in a college class. And then I actually looked through some of the things that they were doing in that class. And I was like, wow, I'm really glad I'm not an econ major.
Yeah.
I don't blame you a bit. But there's like an element of our parents sitting us down and really giving us that serious conversation and just being very direct and honest with us about what's at stake. Not, you know, just to motivate you through fear, but to be honest and really put the ball in your court. Say, look, if you want to get these things out of life, if you want to be able to put yourself through this without decades of additional strain, or, you know, in the way that your mom talked to you about it, she said, look, it's this or the highway. You know, if you want to go to college, you're going to have to pay for it yourself because that's your only move here. There's a real sense of pride then later on, knowing that you put in kind of, so it's kind of a two thing to look back here, a double thing, that one, it's important for parents to sit down and really invest that meritocratic sense in their kids and give them that this is the be all end all, that you have to put in the work. And then also kind of the pride through it. You know, looking back on the countless jobs that I put through in college and the sweating on top of rooftops, you know, roofing endless numbers of houses. And then you're just filling out application after application, like you said, just like a part-time job. There's a lot of well-earned pride and honor that comes from putting through that work that I feel like student loans just don't pull through. Like, doing that work on the front end really does pay off, not just financially, but emotionally and socially later on.
Right. Well, it's like once I got to college, it's like I had put so much work in on the front end that like the idea of like dropping out or not following all the way through with my education just like didn't even cross my mind, because it's like I just put 4 years of work throughout high school into just getting to the starting line. Like the idea of quitting or not making it through just was like not an option in my mind, because it's like now I've made it this far and like I feel such ownership over it. But it's interesting you said work. There's actually a lot of studies that say that students who work part-time in college, they actually are more likely to succeed and graduate in time. Like that's actually a good thing, having that anchor of work and having a work ethic. Like it can actually keep you more focused in your classes and increase your likelihood that you'll do well in college. So that definitely is in line with the research.
I think so. I remember a couple of times I was sitting in classes where I thought, wow, this is a lot easier. There's a lot less effort required in this situation than at the job I'm getting ready to go to. When you're dealing with like 15 different IT tickets. And I think actually the afternoon that I thought that, one of our professor's computers actually caught on fire in her classroom. They had to clear out the building. So, you know, studying a little bit of science, dealing with a, you know, computer that's actually smoking. It kind of put things into perspective just a little bit.
Right.
I want to touch on one other thing, because moving from college onto career, there's a point where I, as a young teacher, realized that I wanted to move on to helping other teachers be better at teaching. And there has to have been a moment where you took your experience in getting through college without taking student loans and your experience with personal economics and finance, and you came to a conclusion, I need to start telling other people how to avoid the chaos and the nightmares of student loans and show them how they can do this for them. What was that moment for you?
Yeah, well, after graduation, I had so many peers, so many friends who were just, the thing they kept saying was, gosh, Christina, I just wish that someone would have sat me down when I was in high school and had a real conversation with me about money and about scholarships, because like, I didn't know everything that you knew in high school. Like nobody sat me down and said, you know, you need to start working on this, or, you know, this is what you're going to be responsible for once you get to college. Like people didn't have that conversation with me. So, I didn't know about scholarships. I didn't know I could win them. I thought they were only for like star athletes or valedictorians, which I was neither of those. And so they're like, I just didn't think that like I had the shot. So, it really motivated me to go, you know what? I really want to reach my hand back to the next generation and help them understand that you can win scholarships, that you can go to college debt-free, that you don't have to rely on student loans. So that was really the trigger for me. I also had a mentor sit down with me and I was telling him my story. And what's so funny at the time, like I didn't actually think my story was that cool. Like I was just kind of telling him, yeah, I went to college on scholarships. And he started pulling that story out of me. and was like, you did what? You won how much? And I was like, yeah, it was like $500,000. And he was like, what are you going to do with that information? Are you going to like share that? Like, do you want to write a book or something? And at the time, like, I was planning on going more corporate and didn't really think about that. But he's like, Christina, you've been given so much. It's really important you reach back and help the next generation. And so that was just like, okay.
I think that's really important to note. And it's amazing how many times that we don't see kind of the specific points in the experiences that we're working through in education when someone else recognizes this is something that needs to be told. And maybe for us, because we've been working at it for so long, or we had parents that made that action so normal to us that it's normal. I mean, of course I worked part-time jobs in college, you know, 3 and 4 at a time. What, you didn't? Like, it just, it becomes so normal. And another thing I want to bring a little bit of attention to, at least that I'm just, I identify with, I suppose. You weren't a valedictorian, you know, you weren't a superstar athlete, neither was I. And yet, whenever I think about parents and helping their kids and teachers and encouraging their students to being better individuals, there's often so much of a focus on being, you know, the best athlete or studying hard until you're at the top of your class. But I don't necessarily feel as that those are the apex of what being a high school student should be. When preparing yourself with a solid work ethic and determination, a reality-based focus on how life works and functions is more useful to the average individual and also to the valedictorian and the star athlete. Because, you know, you're not going to be the best athlete out on, you know, the job force work floor. That, you know, there's not always a company softball thing to set you on top. But that work ethic and that kind of personal perseverance is more worth instilling, at least, you know, if we're dividing up our time and how to encourage our kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. I try to encourage students that there's not just like one scholarship, you know, type that people are looking for, that it's not just like, you know, you only have to be this perfect mold of a scholar in order to stand out in the process and go to college debt free. It's like, no, you really need to figure out who you are and what you want to do and lean into that and develop that work ethic and those scholar qualities. I actually talk about that in my first book. There are scholar qualities that really stand out like work ethic, perseverance, hard work, teamwork, things like that. But it's like, these are these really great skills that are going to help you in the real world. And, you know, I think at the beginning of this interview, you mentioned that there's kind of a shakeup in both high school and higher education where people are kind of starting to question, like, are student loans worth it? Like, is college worth it? Do we need to go this way that everybody's told us that we need to go? You know, is college for everyone? And I think these conversations are so good because it's kind of challenging this like old school notion that like there's one type of scholar and, you know, you got to do these certain set of things. If not, you do that. It's like we need to challenge this system and we need to challenge the student loan system and have people really critically think about college and what are the qualities that will help you get to college and what are the qualities that will help you get through college and then what are the qualities that are going to help you stand out in the workforce. Like these are really important conversations that we need to not just breeze over with kids. We don't need to just let them go into student loan space with no real deep conversations about money and finance and, you know, what they really want to do in the long term. So many kids feel like, you know, I just have to get a 4-year degree because it's what everyone's doing. Like that's the route that we're supposed to go. Right. And it's like, maybe that's right for you, you know, or maybe it's trade school. Maybe you go to community college first. If you don't know what you want to do. And then you transfer to a 4-year school. You know, maybe you don't go to that fancy private school that costs $50,000 a year. Maybe you can go to a public school and get just as great of an education and end up with the same job sitting next to people who went to Ivy League schools. Like there are so many different variables in this that I think it's so good that things are being challenged so that people are really pushed to start thinking more critically about their education.
This is really what I'm looking forward to in the next decade, just in education in general, is this diversity of how we approach different questions that we have about a system that really has become so mediocre in the last 100 years that it's really not putting forth our best and brightest into the local economy, the national economy, and the global economy. And not just like an economy of finance, but in the arts and in engineering and in how we progress as a society. And it's through the values that we encourage our students that we can actually start to see a greater generation follow us, which is really kind of the other thing that I'm interested in seeing, because we keep talking about all of these values that we want to encourage in students. but those aren't really taught in schools anymore. They aren't the norm in society. We've become rather apathetic to our approach to character and to virtue, just kind of as a whole. And when I consider how to encourage teachers to instill these values in the classroom, or when I talk to parents about how they instill these values in the home, I'm at a bit of a loss at how directly to encourage these meritocratic values, how to have real solid conversations, because it's not a quick fix. Like, it's not something that I can just say, oh, well, here's your answer in a sentence. How do you start to have conversations with parents and students about developing these kind of solid values, about how to govern their time, how to govern a good work ethic?
Well, I think one of the first things is like having the conversations. I think that a lot of times like parents assume that perhaps like their kids just know, or, you know, that like the system, the schools, that's, they're going to learn it from there. And it's like the most important thing is that it happens in the home, that these are dinner table conversations, that these are real conversations happening with parents and students. And then two, just to model it, to, you know, have parents that are willing to set boundaries with their own time and to say, you know, this is what I'm doing in my own personal life to try to set boundaries with work and home. This is what I'm trying to do to work hard, you know, at my job and to display work ethic and to have these qualities inside of both my work and my home. You know, so I think it's really one, being willing to have those conversations, and then two, being able to model it and then talk to your kids about how you're doing it in your own life. What are you doing intentionally to develop these characters and characteristics and qualities within yourself, and then showing them, you know, how that plays out in the real world within your own life.
So how do you then translate that into your advice to students who are finishing high school, they want, or entering high school, hopefully? You know, they've maybe grown up in a Dave Ramsey household, or they've just come across the content and the material, and they want to know how to develop some of these scholarship-ready qualities. How do they begin to start portraying that they have a good work ethic, that they're punctual, that they're accountable, that they're honest, that they're dedicated? Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the biggest things is just getting out and doing, like getting out there and actually getting involved in activities, being willing to try things and fail, being willing to find things you really love and pouring into them, being willing to try several things and then figuring out, you know, how do I balance my time amongst these different activities? Like, a lot of it is just being willing to put yourself out there and try things, even if you're not going to be great at them, like being willing to try. And then you find the things that you love, and then you pour into them, and these qualities start to develop naturally. But like really identifying what you love, don't try to follow the crowd. Don't try to, you know, just do things because your friends are doing them. Like, find the things that you really love, that you want to pour into, and then start doing them. And you'll develop a lot of these qualities naturally. Like, it's just the act of getting out there. And then also one thing I love to talk about is just having a growth mindset, being willing to believe in yourself and believe that things can change, that you can get better. Like, you may try an activity that you're not great at first, but willing to stick with it and study and practice and do things until you get better, versus like fixed mindsets. A lot of, you know, people with a fixed mindset believe that, you know, I'm either good at something or I'm not. And then it makes you less likely to want to try new things, versus like, if you have a growth mindset, then it's like, okay, I may not be great at this right now, but I can constantly improve and I can constantly get better. Like, even if you're like a B student now, right now, when you're hearing this podcast and you go, oh man, like, I don't know if I can go to college or win scholarships, but then again, I've never really tried hard in school. It's like, right now, today, you can make a decision to take it to the next level, to turn up the heat, to turn up the volume and start working hard and, you know, moving forward, figuring out if you can get a tutor. Are there extra supplemental classes you can take on Khan Academy or something online? Like, what can you do to continue growing and improving? And I think that's been such a big part of my story, is like, I have so many examples throughout my life where I'm like, well, I wasn't great at that to start with, but I'm going to keep trying. Or that wasn't my sport, but I'm going to do something else. Or, you know, I tried this and I failed, but I'm going to try again. And I think that's just huge. Like, if you are willing to commit yourself to the process of growing and improving, then it's like the details of how that's done can constantly like grow and improve and change.
So where does this kind of a curriculum fit into kind of how we teach this to the next generation? Some people believe that these are things that parents should really be focused on teaching in the home. Some believe that this should be part of a personal finance course in every school. Some believe this should be part of social studies. And some individuals believe this should just be kind of a general atmosphere that's kind of upheld in the schools. And it's kind of an unusual question, maybe. But how would you approach teaching these things to students, or maybe where would you start at maybe an institutional level, making sure that these values are taught to students?
Yeah, I think an ideal world, it'd be a combination of everything, right? Like it'd be taught in the home. It would be supported by the teachers. There would be institutional changes that supported those lessons. Like ideally, it'd all be cohesive and we'd be working together to instill these values. I think that would be like in a perfect world. I think obviously the home is a great place to start, but there are a lot of kids who have really tough home lives and they don't get that type of education and teaching. So teachers can do so much to make a huge difference for students. They can be that mentor and that support. Especially for students from, you know, rough backgrounds that don't have that parental support, teachers can step in the gap and be that mentor. And then we have a curriculum called Foundations in Personal Finance through Ramsey Education. And it's amazing. Like I've had the opportunity to work on it in the last 6 months and like just going through it for myself as an adult, I like look at it and I go, oh my gosh, all these times that I've heard people say like, I wish I would have known this about money when I was younger. I wish I would have known this about money. It's like, it is the answer to all of that. And it's like, oh, if I would have had that in high school, like there's just so many mistakes I could have avoided and just so many like foundational things that I'm like, wow, like these kids are going to be so incredibly set up for success. So it's like institutionally, I think that it's amazing that now several states are starting to require personal finance curriculum in high school because it's like that is so needed. And I have so often heard adults say, gosh, like, why are we not learning these basic life skills when we're in high school? And it's like the fact that these students are going to have that is like life changing. Like when you really think about financial literacy in the long term trajectory of their lives, it's like, whew, they are going to be set up for success with that. So I think, yeah, it's just a combination, ideally, that like the parents are doing the support, the teachers are doing the support, and then they have a structure of learning where we can really help them learn those fundamentals. Like if we could get that combination going, like that is ideal.
The things that makes me so optimistic about the next decade in education and really as the next generation comes to bear in general is that there have been so many things that have just been the way we've always done them in the last 100 years or so that a lot of individuals are kind of looking around, a lot of communities are looking around and saying, why aren't we teaching personal finance in schools? Why aren't we putting a greater focus on things like trade schools and engineering programs and community college, you know, that's one of the things that we're just going to make it happen. And like you said, a lot of states are requiring personal finance. They're shaping how their academic, or they're changing how their academic standards are shaped to actually benefit the needs that people are bringing forward. Things that people are openly saying, hey, this is something that I need. And this is a serious thing that a lot of people are talking about right now that it's important to shine a light on and move forward with. The other half of that is a lot of individuals who didn't get the personal finance and did take a lot of student loans and went in the day they hit 18 and signed their name and got this huge, massive interest rate loan. And they're dealing with the consequences of that way later into life. To those individuals who are currently listening to this cast, what advice do you have for them? Not necessarily in how to pick up the pieces and pay off that debt. Obviously, we're going to put the resources for them to go to. But in a different way, how do you recommend individuals who have taken that plunge and have paid those consequences, how do you recommend they talk to the younger generation about student loans?
Yeah, well, first of all, speaking to them, like I just want them to feel the confidence that they can push forward without student loans. So, you know, we have seen people come into Ramsey Solutions with hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt that are now completely debt free. And the typical person who comes in with student loan debt takes about 18 to 24 months to pay it off. So if you have student loan debt and you're like, whew, like I feel like I'm going to be dragging this around for the next 20 years, like I encourage you to really like push forward in trying to reach freedom. Like don't feel like you have to carry that around forever. Like you can go through a season of really hard work and effort so that you can pay off those loans and have them out of your life for good. And then for them and speaking to the next generation, like I encourage you to become an advocate for the next generation. Like take your experience and take your frustration with the fact that you had so many student loans. And especially if you didn't understand what you were getting into when you took them out, and you didn't feel like you got that knowledge and that information up front, like be that person for students that says, hey, wait a minute, like, let me talk to you about money. Let me talk to you about personal finance. Let me tell you all the things that I wish that somebody would have told me when I was in high school to help me avoid the situation that I'm in right now. We have a documentary called Borrowed Future, and I was super excited to be part of the project because it's like the thing that now I can point students to instead of just saying avoid student loans because, you know, because there's consequences long term and it's hard to pay off and all that. It's like this documentary, like the whole purpose is to expose the toxic student loan industry and to show stories of people who have a lot of student loans and had a tough time paying them off and also show alternate routes. So it's nice to have that resource to be like, hey, students, watch this, like watch this so you can see the totality of what student loans mean. And then talk to me about like what we can do to avoid it, because especially, you know, somebody who's been through student loan debt and perhaps taken years to pay it off. It's like, be an advocate now. Help students avoid the trap of student loan debt.
I think this funnels back into that blunt honesty that we were, or that blunt, that like very upfront honesty that we were talking about earlier, and just being very real with students about what decisions they are about to make and what's at stake and what's going to cost them 10, 20, 30 years of their life. I think of even a lot of doctoral students that were promised, you know, vast wealth and riches by going into the medical field and took somewhere between $150,000 and like $220,000 student loans. And I'm still watching as they struggle to chip away at that. And I see other cases, like in my wife's case, who took student loans for a music education degree, and we have paid those off. And whenever she talks about her student loans, it's always with this guttural anger that, you know, she was suckered into taking them. And I think that that kind of honest conversation with our teachers, with parents, and with students is going to really bring a lot of question to the status quo and make a lot of difference. So kind of at the end here, a little maybe not where I'd normally end it, but what projects are you working on in the future? Give us a little bit of a sneak peek into kind of your next big stab towards student debt and college preparedness.
Yeah, so we actually just finished filming last week a new course that's going to be within the Ramsey Plus membership on student loans. So it's all about, like, if you're wanting to pay off student loans right now, this course will guide you through what you need to do to get those student loans completely paid off. And we also put out a free resource at ramseysolutions.com/student loans, where you can kind of get the high level overview of, like, if you're hungry right now to pay off the student loans, this is what you can start doing today to get them paid off. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
I never ask people about the kind of projects that they're working on. We had an episode a couple of weeks ago where I was thinking about, I should ask them what they're getting ready to do, because they were talking kind of in the future sense. And like 2 days later, they launched this massive project. And I'm like, man, I could have had the full story right here. So we'll keep all of that stuff kind of up to date. And we'll actually go back after that's launched. We'll put that in the description, the links there. And then, of course, we'll make sure that all of your stuff is in the Chyron as it scrolls across, including that documentary. Because as a student, I loved seeing some of those like gritty, real documentaries to kind of shake what you thought kind of going through as a high school student. Mm-hmm. You have your one way that you think the world is. And then you see that one particular film, that one particular video, just everything changes. And if we can get that kind of a change on attitude about student debt so that we see less students walking into this exceptionally predatory market, man, we're going to be a much better society for it. You can follow Christina over at MyChristinaEllis on Twitter. Make sure you check out her work over at Dave Ramsey Solutions. Of course, as I said, we'll have all of those things on the Chyron and in the description below. Christina, thank you so much for hopping on with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was a great chat. I enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed that episode, let us know with a review on Apple Podcasts. Teachers Lounge and Chalkboard Review are volunteer projects by a group of educators seeking to give all a window into education. Consider donating a few bucks and help us keep the lights on at thechalkboardreview.com. The Teachers Lounge is recorded by Tony Kinnett, executive producer Allison Heap.